Following the April 10th general election and the first ever sit-down between President Yoon Suk-yeol and the opposition party chief, two cases of investigations resurface in the political arena, one on the Itaewon tragedy and the other on the death of a Marine corporal. It is all too easy to get swept up by the frenzy, but they don't just stop at being political issues. We want to think about what this means for the current politics and perhaps more importantly, Korea's future. For more insights, we now connect with Professor Kim Byung-joo of the Hankuk University of Foreign Studies. Good morning, Professor Kim.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us on this extended holiday.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let us begin maybe with the Itaewon case. The deadly incident dates back to October of 2022. It's already been a year and a half. How do we go about explaining the disagreements that have persisted so far?
Right, year and a half, and for a long time, the disagreements have continued. The progressive side, or those people who are critical of the government, they see several points. Number one is, more than anything, emotionally, this is very, very painful and tragic incident. Young people were out there to celebrate. They perished, 159 of them. Mm-hmm. And that's many lives indeed. Not only the victims themselves, but also their families, the loved ones who had to let them go so instantaneously, within such a short moment. They were leaving their places to celebrate and party at night, and then suddenly they heard that sad news. The magnitude of this tragedy itself is just so heartbreaking for those people who perished, and then those people who had to let go of their loved ones. And also the entire nation, the whole Korean people also looking at the tragedy, it just breaks our heart. So tragic dimension of it, it's something very big in the minds of those people who are critical of the government. Mm. Second thing is kind of related, but the magnitude of it, this was not a small case.
Right.
Actually, Korea has had tragic cases like this in terms of losing people in large numbers. If we line them up, for instance, 1995, the collapse of Sampung department store,
right,
resulted in 502 lives perishing, suddenly, all of a sudden, 502. 2003, Daegu subway, that case, the fire that took away 192 lives. And of course, after that, Seolho sinking came 2014, resulting in, 299. So, Sampung, Seoul, Daegu Jiachol, they're top threes. And then this Itaewon case comes in as top four,
right,
159. So these things continue on. And people who are critical of the government, they say there has to be something needs to be done in series of these kind of cases in this country.
To maybe better safeguard safety, but also going forward to prevent such a scale of a case from happening, right?
Exactly. Relating to that point, however, they see lack of efforts in terms of holding people accountable, those people who are responsible for this, and holding them accountable. The effort is lacking the way they see it. And the critics have argued for holding people up high, responsible, but so far what we've seen was some of the senior police, the elites, top leadership, not all the way to the national level, but the local level of top leadership, police elites were charged, and then the district office people there were charged, but nothing happened about that. And so they see a problem with accountability there. So that's very contentious view that has been held on the side of the critics of the government. But they feel that their view has not been met with the satisfactory reactions or responses from the government. That is the core of the problem.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was for a moment important to note that it could be viewed as a fruitful outcome from the UNE meeting, but I guess what's infinitely more important is what comes next. Is there a valuable lesson learned? Because special investigation units also have their own limitations. If we can take away anything from the special investigation unit that looked into this Hayward sinking, In 8 years, they came across many speed bumps along the way. So a bigger question of should we focus on maybe looking for scientifically grounded causality and prevention methods be more important, or should we also simultaneously look into accountability, as you've mentioned, Professor Kim? So what should have been done, maybe going back, done shortly after the Itaewon tragedy to prevent disagreements from continuing on for this long?
Getting something done is very difficult because there is a differences in view. I elaborate on the critics' view, but on the other side of the political spectrum, those people who support the government, they see this one fundamentally different from the other cases, especially Sewol case, Sewol sinking. The Sewol sinking's case, there was this ship that was sinking in the middle of the open sea where people just could not actually see with their eyes what was exactly happening inside the ship, what was happening there. We just didn't know. There are so many different questions hidden behind our eyesight. They argue that Itaewon was different. It was an open air, open space. You know, many eyes were there. People were watching. And, you know, digging out certain, you know, the responsibility, accountability there for someone doing something wrong, causing this case, in their view, some of the people with strong views, they feel it's preposterous. They see the progressives criticizing the police, focusing on drug crackdown rather than crowd control. Sometimes they argue, is police out there? What is their primary responsibility? Of course, they're all their responsibilities, but looks like a, you know, drug crackdown sounds much more important responsibility than just crowd control, because we have to assume that people walk around on their own volition and on their own willingness, and their own sense of control has to dominate and then make the difference in terms of making the flows of the crowd and everything. So this is very rationalist approach. They're saying this is just very tragic, sad incident that happened, but holding anyone responsible is extremely difficult. And holding government responsible for anything, even like this one, what happened in the open space with crowd on their own willingness to move around, is going too far. You cannot hold government responsible for everything. So this has been very rationalist and, in a way, a legalist approach. Right. And what we are seeing here is, however, having talked about two perspectives here, what probably should have happened was government taking, and perhaps political leadership taking, in this kind of centrist approach, that is having someone take the what's called the moral responsibility, not legal responsibility, but this tragic incident happening, we are all sad, and taking moral responsibility is kind of like a action of mourning as well. You're showing the action, responding to the public emotion, and you don't have to be legally responsible for it, but you're sad, we are sad, I'm in this place where I'm responsible for these things and I feel moral responsibility.
But do you think maybe, Professor Kim, the action of mourning, that's also very tricky in the political arena, because it could be also seen as an admission of guilt by the critics, at least?
Yeah, that's what legalists would think. And then there were some reference to several incidents and stuff like that, so they're extra careful. The thing is, however, in politics, it's very much of emotional dimension that's involved, so you have to get the right balance. So you can't just say we're going to stay away from it, then you fail.
Due to time constraints, always we also have to turn to the Corporal Chiss case. What do the critics of the government have in mind when it comes to this particular case? With this, it doesn't seem like the DP and PPP were in agreement.
Yeah, exactly. And in the eyes of the critics, again, it's kind of similar to what we talked about in Itaewon. There's one young man, and his family is involved and loved ones involved here, and perishing, losing his life in such a tragic way, in the violent torrents of, and the aftermath of heavy rain, trying to rescue those people who are missing, as a Marine soldier, perishing that way. It was a very tragic case, of course. The thing is, it happened in the military, and in the eyes of these critics, they remember. I mean, even I don't know how it may come to us, but making reference of a famous TV show, DP, for instance, the military organization, history of cover-ups and hierarchy, top-down, people just don't have trust in this organization of military. And it's similar to, I mean, it has something to do with the 1987 National Intelligence cover-up of tortured death of young men. Kind of like they don't tell you the truth. How when young person dies, they don't tell you the truth. And so that's what they see here. And the investigator, the colonel who was in charge of investigation, he found certain people who made a who gave an order down not to have Marines wear life vest. And so, of course, that commander is responsible, he was saying. And then also the colonel investigator was saying people higher up, even people above them, should be held responsible. And that was his position. But the thing is, his position was turned down by the defense minister, and some people argue by the president and so on. So this angers the critics, and critics of the government big time. And the sad case, the power higher up intervened, and they turn over the finding and investigation of the investigator who was in charge.
And to that end, what do then those who take side with President Yoon think?
Well, there is a different perspective. The people can say military has this history of cover-ups and everything, but for people on the other side, they say still the military is the one that defends us, that keeps our life intact. Everyday life. The reason why we can have peaceful and prosperous life here is because of the military that's defending us from the external threats. And we should have certain threats, certain trust in the military, and we should allow certain autonomy to the commanders. Some people have gone as far as saying military is not a kindergarten, and it's not a small school children you have there. And parents, of course, they have their every right to say whatever they want to say about the lost ones. But the thing is, decisions about life vest, for instance, the depth of the water, speed of the currents, all those things, those information is available on site. And people who are not there, it has little to do in terms of to say whether they should be worn the life vest or not. Something that we have to delegate the responsibility to the commanders. And that's how military operates, top down. And that's military assumes that people will lose their lives in defending our civic society and this national community. And so you have to kind of respect such autonomy and everything. And in that sense, there are some people I noticed going as far as saying, thinking that some suspicions of the investigators who are involved here. They think they remember these investigators in high profile cases in public prosecutor's office who became famous by going against the authority, setting revolt and protest against the chain of command, and became famous. That opened up their political, aspirations and everything, career, and there are the suspicions as well. So this is all really mixed up picture we are looking at here from each side. On both sides, they have completely different perspective on this.
Exactly. And it's really easy to get swept up in, I think, the media frenzy, the coverage. It's also very exhausting to keep up with it on a regular basis because there are so many angles to it, depending on where you fall on the spectrum, depending on how emotionally attached you are to the story, for example. So given the multidimensional aspects of these stories, I guess it's difficult for us to have a really short answers to any of these questions, but I think this is one of the charged questions of the day. What do these cases of contention maybe tell us about the status of politics here in Korea now, and maybe also importantly, in the future?
I think there are things easy to say here. For instance, from one side to the other side, like from the conservative side to the opposition, you can say to the opposition, say, look, you cannot bring everything to the political table. Just try to save your energy and be economical about selecting your topics here, and really focus on the topics that really matters for the national interest, rather than flamboyant topics that will just set the fire on in the minds of the people and getting emotional about it. Rather think about the system and the way things work and be rational about it. You can say that to the opposition. I'm saying opposition because conservatives, when they're in opposition, they can be criticized for doing the same thing, criticizing against progressive government. So I'm saying such criticism for opposition, that's easy to say. And then criticism about the governing party, whether it's conservative or opposition, progressive, you can say, just remember that your decision is not absolute. Only because you're in power, you can make these kind of decisions in certain ways. But you have to think that hubris always fails, and you have to really, hold the country together by paying attention to how up the other side feels emotionally. Otherwise, if you look away from the emotions of the other side, the country and the national community will just fall apart, just like what we saw in the United States, happening in the United States for the last several decades, democracy failing because people in power were exercising hubris and the other side was just totally in the hatred. So you can easily say these kind of things, but the thing is really that's difficult to do in practice. In terms of practice, very briefly, one thing we can do is maybe paying attention to the maybe trying to make all of ourselves as a centrist. What we mean is, if you find yourself supporting the agendas of one side continuously, you should be suspicious about your own inclination. And you want to be independent. You want to make your own judgment on certain issues, taking side with this side, and certain other issues taking side with the other side. That's an independently minded democratic voter who
And a
can,
critical thinker.
yeah, critical thinker, and who can uphold the democracy of this country. You don't want to be always kept on one side and criticizing the other side continuously. Then you guys kind of taken away by these forces of, different people who want to mobilize you, keep you on one side, and that continuously undermines our democracy. So if we can all try to be independent on different issues and have our own different stance, not be a partisan, I think that could actually, kind of self-monitoring.
A little bit of
Am I?
humility that I could be
Yes,
wrong too.
exactly right. I could be wrong too, but I want to be an independent, democratic voter. That could be one effort that we can all make, perhaps.
There are so many gems in today's interview. I wish I could just put it on a t-shirt. But I always go back to the statement you made months ago, but it sticks. Democracy is only as smart as its people. And if we don't pay attention to the details and not get swept up in the moment of things, it'll be difficult to keep a watchful eye on what is really important. So maybe taking a step back, take a breath, learn the issues, and then decide.
That's very wonderful way of wrapping up today's discussion. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
We
it.
appreciate it, Professor Kim. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.